Welcome to Transformed by Grace, an in-depth Bible study of God's Word presented by the Berean Bible Society. Join us each time on this station as Pastor Kevin brings the transforming message of God's grace revealed through the Holy Scriptures.
During the 2007-2008 NFL regular season, New England Patriots quarterback Tom Brady set the record for most touchdown passes in a regular season, paving the way to winning the MVP award. At the age of 30, he had already won three Super Bowls, and as we know, he went on to win more. But that was, even just winning three was an accomplishment that set him apart as one of the best quarterbacks to ever play the game. Tom Brady was then interviewed by 60 Minutes journalist Steve Croft. Despite the fame and career accomplishments he had already achieved, Brady told Croft that it felt like something was still lacking in his life. He said this, "Why do I have three Super Bowl rings and still think that there's something greater out there for me? I mean, maybe a lot of people would say, hey man, this is what it's all about. I reached my goal, my dream. Me? I think it's got to be more than this. I mean, this isn't all it's cracked up to be. This can't be all there is." Croft pressed Brady as to what the right answer was, and Brady added, "What's the answer? I wish I knew." In the next number of episodes, we'll be considering the question, "What is my purpose?" Along with that, we'll also consider the many deceiving things in this world that seem like they would or should give purpose to life. King Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes has a lot to teach us about that. Ecclesiastes deals with the subject of the meaning and purpose of life. It does so by a process of reasonings, reflections, observations, and conclusions from Solomon's personal experiences. From your personal Bible study, you might recognize the Greek word ekklesia in the title of Ecclesiastes. Ekklesia in the Greek means a called-out assembly or gathering, and Ecclesiastes means one who addresses a called-out assembly or gathering, or you could say a preacher. The preacher for the book is King Solomon. The called-out assembly he is addressing is the nation of Israel. We are Gentiles, under grace, members of the body of Christ, but we still find great profit and principles for our lives here. Because people haven't changed since Solomon's day, and they still look for purpose and meaning in life in all the same places as Solomon did 3,000 years ago. It's been said about preachers, preachers preach not just to say something, but because they have something to say. Or at least they should. Because when you preach the word, you have something to say. And Solomon, as the preacher, had something to say under the inspiration of the Spirit. Solomon speaks to all of us about all of life. He was a man who had the time, the money, and the energy to take a journey deep into life and explore areas we only wonder about. Being a king, we don't have his kind of money. And since he was the wisest man in the world at that time, we don't have his brains. So we couldn't go into the depths of life he went, even if we tried. So it's all the more reason for each of us to listen to this preacher. And Solomon, the preacher, tells each of us, "Listen to me. Are you looking for meaning? Are you searching for purpose? Something to fill the void, something to give real fulfillment? I'm here to keep you from wasting your time and wasting your life." He would say, "I've looked and searched for meaning and satisfaction in life under the sun, apart from God, in my own wisdom. I've searched for it through education and gaining more knowledge, through entertainment, wine, art, travel, adventure, work, constructing great houses, having great wealth, great possessions and land. I've searched for it through music and worldly recognition and fame. And all of it is like a puff of smoke. Vanity, emptiness, and meaningless. He would tell us life above the sun is where true joy, true hope, life, and fulfillment are found. And that we need to get our vertical life and relationship with God into place first for your horizontal life in this world to start making sense and for us to find purpose. Ecclesiastes is Solomon's journal of his journey in pursuit with unrestrained determination to find purpose. But when anyone searches for happiness and meaning but leaves God out of the picture like Solomon did, they'll end up with the same conclusion as he did. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. Ecclesiastes 1:1-2 says, "The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity." The preacher introduces himself in verse 1. Solomon was the son of David. Solomon reigned over Israel as king in Jerusalem. King David had left Solomon a large estate in his care. David fought the battles. And now Solomon, his son, enjoyed 40 years of peace. Thus, instead of money being poured into military escapades, Solomon used the peacetime money to finance his pursuits into discovering life. After the pursuit was over and done, he wrote out all that he had discovered. And Solomon begins with the conclusion, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. The term vanity is not talking about foolish pride, but it speaks of futility, hollowness, emptiness, meaninglessness. In all of Solomon's pursuits, everything added up to exactly nothing. Zilch. As far as bringing any lasting joy for his life and finding true satisfaction and happiness. In Scripture, when the same word is repeated, it is for the purpose of emphasis. It's like an exclamation point. The words vanity of vanities is as though Solomon is shouting that it's all really, really empty and hollow. There's nothing there. Solomon's journey left him deflated and disillusioned. All attempts at happiness just blew up in his face. There was nothing that he saw, heard, discovered, experienced, or produced as a result of his search that resulted in any lasting personal satisfaction. Pastor Charles Swindoll rightly wrote, "Satisfaction in life under the sun will never occur until there is a meaningful connection with the living Lord above the sun." All of us have entertained thoughts of, if only. If only I could do this. Or when this happens. Such as when I retire. When I graduate. When I get married. When I get that house. When I get that promotion. We long for what might be. We desire more. We want something else. We believe then I'll be happy. Then I'll be content. And Solomon the preacher says, stop. If you're looking for happiness in things, it's a pipe dream. Don't bother. Empty as a puff of smoke. It's trying to grasp the wind. Knowing and living for the true and living God is where joy and purpose is at. Ecclesiastes 1:3-4 reads, "What profit hath a man of all his labor, which he taketh under the sun? One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever." Leonard Wolf writes, "I see clearly that I have achieved practically nothing. The world today and the history of the human anthill during the past 5 to 7 years would be exactly the same if I had played ping pong instead of sitting on committees and writing books and memoranda. I have therefore to make a rather contemptible confession that I have, in a long life, ground through between 150,000 and 200,000 hours of perfectly useless work. Solomon observed the same thing about the endless routine of work. He asks a rhetorical question about work. What profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? The implied answer is that there is no profit for man in all his work. He saw that there was nothing gained and that there's no purpose in it all. If a person gives their whole life to find satisfaction and purpose for their life through only their life's work, they're going to be disappointed in the end. Solomon the preacher often uses the phrase under the sun in this book. It's speaking of daily life in this world under the sun. And the perspective is an under the sun perspective of a strictly human perspective looking at daily life. Regarding our toil, though, and work, if we lift our perspective above the sun on the Lord, when you look at work, you have a different perspective. Because we can worship and bring glory to God through our employment. And in that, we do find joy and purpose as we live for the Lord. But with an under-the-sun, human, earthly perspective on work, to Solomon, it only revealed a frustrating, burdensome, exhausting, boring, monotonous routine which is futile and without profit. No matter what one does in life, no matter what lofty position one may obtain, if you leave God out, life will rise up and mock you, meaningless. Solomon shows there is no profit in worshiping your work. And if you believe that by living to work you will find fulfillment in life, you won't find it. Hugh Prather, in his book Notes to Myself, says, "If I had only forgotten future greatness and not worked so much and looked at the green things and reached out to those around me and smelled the air and ignored the forms and the self-styled obligations and heard the rain on my roof and put my arms around my wife, perhaps it's not too late." To Solomon, from his earthly perspective, like the continuous cycle of work, there's futility and emptiness in the continuous cycle of generations also. The earth is permanent. People are impermanent. People are born, and people die. We're here, and then we're gone. The cycle goes on and repeats itself over and over. Similar to Solomon's thoughts about life, Mark Twain, shortly before his death, wrote this: "A myriad of men are born. They labor and sweat and struggle. They squabble and scold and fight. They scramble for little mean advantages over each other. Age creeps upon them. Infirmities follow. Those they love are taken from them, and the joy of life is turned to aching grief. The release comes at last, the only unpoisoned gift earth ever had for them, and they vanish from the world." Now talk about depressing. And it makes you wonder, is this all there is to life? From a humanistic, earthly perspective, it is. But from a godly, heavenly perspective, the answer is no. There's more to life than that. God's word shows us that there is purpose to life, a high purpose. We know that God has a plan and purpose for each life. We find purpose, we find our eternal purpose when we lift our eyes above the sun and we live for the Lord and we live by His word. Scottish theologian Thomas Boston once said, "Our present existence is a short preface to a long eternity. And during the short time we are given, God would have us live with eternity in view and for eternal realities, allowing God to use our lives for His glory. There is real meaning, real purpose in living by faith in God.
We'll be returning to the program in just a minute. But first, we'd like to take this time to thank you, our partners, for making these programs possible. If you would like to access our library of helpful Bible study tools, go to BereanBibleSociety.org.
2 Minutes with the Bible, a daily devotional, is a paperback 366-page book written by Cornelius R. Stamm. 2 Minutes with the Bible is a timeless classic that our beloved founder, C.R. Stamm, compiled from newspaper articles he had written for various publications. We at the Berean Bible Society are firm believers in the importance of daily devotions to further spiritual growth. To order your copy, contact the Berean Bible Society for pricing and availability at 262-255-4750 or visit our website at www.BereanBibleSociety.org.
To receive our free, full-color 32-page monthly magazine, The Berean Searchlight, call 262-255-4750 or subscribe online at www.BereanBibleSociety.org. Thank you again for your generous gifts. And now, back to the teaching with Pastor Kevin.
Ecclesiastes 1:5-7 reads, "The sun also riseth, and the sun goes down, and hasteth to his place where he arose. The wind goeth toward the south, and turneth about unto the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his circuits. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. Unto the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again." Romans 8:20 says, "As a result of the fall and sin entering the world, the creation was made subject to vanity." Because of sin, because of sin's consequences, this is why we find emptiness and futility under the sun. After noting the continuous cycle of birth and death on the earth through the generations, Solomon speaks of the monotonous cycle of day and night. The sun is in constant motion and never has lasting rest. It hastens to get back to the place where it rises so that it may rise again. And Solomon's asking, what does it accomplish in its daily journey? The sun goes east to west, the wind north to south, and whirls around in constant motion, constantly moving and changing direction, a repetitive part of nature which never arrives at any fixed goal. Rivers run into the sea continuously in a relentless monotony. The cooperation of the sun and wind makes evaporation possible and the movement of moisture. This just keeps circulating as the rivers and rains pour water into the seas and the seas remain at the same level. Living with the under-the-sun perspective, all of it seems pointless. And just like the sun, wind, and rivers, life is just a tiring, repetitious, monotonous, unchanging, boring cycle of ceaseless activity and motion, producing nothing of real achievement or ultimate value. Do you ever feel like life is like that? Like your life is like a monotonous, rolling river? Or like your life is a constant cycle like the sun that never changes? Like you're just going through the motions? Like things are just repetitious and tiring with nothing really achieved. It's about washing dishes a couple hours every day, doing laundry, scouring toilets, taking out the garbage, cutting the grass, chasing toddlers, mediating fights between siblings, bandaging scraped knees, grocery shopping, cleaning out the garage, coping with head colds and headaches, engine tune-ups, crabgrass, broken water heaters, and income tax forms. You pull your tired self out of bed 5 or 6 days a week, 50 weeks a year, you earn a 2-week vacation in August, and you choose a trip that will please the kids. What's the point? From an earthly human perspective only, it all looks tiring, monotonous, and endless, and repetitious. And it makes you wonder why. What's the purpose to it all? And it's all about perspective. And it's about faith. From God's perspective, there's joy in the journey through life. We know He's there with us all the way, loving and caring for us. We know that there is purpose as we do these things and as we live for our family's good. God sees everything we do. He is well pleased when we have a good work ethic. He is pleased when we provide for our families. Our families are the better for it. And we can go through the monotonous things of life and look at life from His perspective, knowing He is glorified through me faithfully doing these mundane, everyday things for others and for my family. Because we know that whatsoever we do in word or deed, we can do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. And we can even stop in life with His perspective and give thanks to God for the long grass, for full garbage cans, for piles of dishes even, for income tax forms, for scraped knees. Because when you have a higher perspective, a godly perspective, you see that God's blessed me with a home, with food to eat, with a job, and with children to raise. Ecclesiastes 1:12-18 reads, I, the preacher, was king over Israel and Jerusalem, and I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. That which is crooked cannot be made straight, and that which is wanting cannot be numbered. I communed with mine own heart, saying, lo, I am come to great estate, and have gotten more wisdom than all they that have been before me in Jerusalem. Yea, my heart had great experience of wisdom and knowledge. And I gave my heart to know wisdom, and to know madness and folly. I perceive that this also is vexation of spirit. For in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. In these verses, we find that Solomon sought meaning and purpose to life through education, through gaining greater wisdom and human knowledge. In this world, we often find how education and intellectualism is purported to equip us with everything necessary for life and is prescribed as a universal remedy for nearly everything. It also inflates pride in those who pursue it as the purpose of life. Solomon set his sights and heart, it says there, on seeking and thoroughly exploring human wisdom as a possible place to find purpose for his life. He poured himself into the sciences, philosophy, history, the fine arts, social sciences, literature, religion, ethics, languages, and any other fields of human learning. By thorough research and full investigation, Solomon explored all things that are done under heaven, a search which he says was sore travail or a burdensome and difficult task. But it didn't give him what he was seeking. And his conclusion was that all that's done under the sun, including the pursuit of purpose through education, never truly satisfies. It is all vanity or meaningless. It is vexation of spirit, meaning that it's elusive. You can't catch it. It's like trying to hold and grasp the wind. Now, education is important and needed in life. But when education is worshipped, when people think it will change the world, when people seek to find meaning and purpose for their lives by it, they'll find that it's powerless, it's meaningless, it's empty. Solomon concluded that through his total quest for wisdom, knowledge, and intellectualism, it soon produced the realization that you are straightening out none of the many things that are crooked about this world and about mankind. Knowledge and education cannot make the crooked world straight. It doesn't solve all the puzzles of life. And in knowing more, all you do is you find that you can't add up the countless things that are lacking and wanting in this world. The Lord Jesus Christ can, though. He can make the crooked world straight. And one day in his earthly millennial kingdom, he will. Verse 16 strikes me funny, because Solomon takes personal inventory of what he had accomplished. And he thought to himself that he had become a pretty smart guy. And he had become to greatness as far as wisdom was concerned. He stated that he gained more wisdom than all who were before him in Jerusalem, and that he'd gained and understood great wisdom and knowledge. Solomon gave it his best shot. He stopped at nothing. He set his mind and heart to know wisdom, madness, and folly. He disciplined himself to acquire wisdom on one hand and to learn about madness and folly on the other, exploring both extremes just in case the meaning of life was found in one or the other, or both, or somewhere in the middle. But in the end, he found it was all vexation of spirit, or like chasing after or trying to grasp the wind again. As all who have gone through schooling can relate, Solomon states that in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increases sorrow. Instead of helping Solomon find the purpose of life, though, human wisdom and trying to understand life and the problems of it only added to his grief. The answer to finding purpose in life isn't in intellectualism, human wisdom, and philosophy. When we remove Christ from the center of any intellectual pursuits for meaning in life, we're headed for despair. Colossians 2:3 teaches that in Christ are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. We find purpose in life by knowing Christ and allowing Christ to direct our paths and allowing Christ to transform our life by His grace.
Thank you again for tuning in to Transformed by Grace. We appreciate your prayer support and the financial gifts. The purpose and mission of the Berean Bible Society is to help you understand the whole counsel of the Word of God. For more information, visit our website at www.bereanbiblesociety.org or give us a call at 262-255-4750. Or if you prefer, write us at the Berean Bible Society, P.O. Box 756, Germantown, Wisconsin, 53022. Now until next time, may you be transformed by God's grace.